Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19, let's read verse 1 through 7. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We haven't so much as even heard whether there even be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Heavenly Father, help us today to understand your word. Give us supernatural understanding. Do something in the hearts and in the minds and the lives of those that are listening. And Lord, let Jesus Christ get all the credit, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to comment on that, but I want to quickly read verse 8 through 12 and get that out of the way, because my comments on this section that we read already are long. But the very next verse, verse 8, says that Paul went into the synagogue, and for 3 months he spoke boldly, and he disputed and persuaded the things concerning the kingdom of God. But it says that various people, their hearts were hardened, and they believed not. But they spoke evil of that way, or the Christian way, before the multitude. And Paul departed from them, and he took the disciples with him. But he disputed daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, or Asia Minor, or Turkey, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Okay, that's a lot of reading, but it demonstrates that Paul, and honestly, Paul kind of takes over in the book of Acts. It's pretty much the exploits of Paul once he gets going. I mean, we've talked about Peter, we've talked about this and that, we've talked about Stephen, but as the narrative goes, Paul takes center stage, if you will. And again, this is a short overview of the book of Acts. This is part 8 of it, and it's the last part. Next week we'll look at John the Baptist, and his role as priest unto God. But all through the book of Acts, you see the Word of God expanding. They started in Jerusalem, and of course I'm talking about Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Then they preached in Judea, and then Samaria, and then they finally got to Cornelius, which he was a Gentile, and the Word of God went unto all the world. And as we see in the book of Acts, the early church, the first century church, they pretty much evangelized the entire known world. Now, they didn't know, because they just didn't know. They didn't know about South America. They didn't have any understanding of that. I guess they went to India a little bit east. They went north. They went south a little bit. But during that time, the known world, they preached everywhere. They preached everywhere. And here in this verse, verse 10 of Acts 19, it says that all that dwelled in Asia, they heard the gospel. And that to me is a wonderful thing. It's our job to continue this apostolic ministry, to try to preach to everyone, to try to share the gospel with everyone. And I've been to Haiti, and you know all about that, and others have been all different countries, whatever. There isn't a country in the world where the gospel has not reached. But still, we have to go across the street, maybe, and talk to that neighbor. And maybe he'll believe, and maybe he won't. But we need to do our part. Okay, so let's look at the first part I read from verse 1 to verse 7. It mentions Apollos. Apollos was at Corinth. There were the 12 disciples that became apostles afterwards. And the word apostle means sent. And as we see, they were sent out by the Lord and by the Spirit. And there weren't just the 12. Obviously, Paul was an apostle. This guy Apollos was. Silas, Barnabas. There were a few. Depending on who's counting, there were probably between 18 and 24 apostles, all sent out to carry the message of the gospel. But it mentions Apollos at Corinth in verse 1, but Paul, he passed through the upper coasts, I guess, of that area, and he came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples, and as it turns out, it was about 12 of them, and that the count of these disciples was 12 means something, and I'll try to bring that out. But, okay, there were disciples, but something wasn't right, and so Paul started asking questions, and the second question, it turns out to be, hey, they don't even know about the Lord. They didn't know about Jesus. And they had not received the Spirit. And Paul asks questions. And they said, you know, we're disciples of John. We've been baptized by John over in Jordan. I guess that was a couple of decades ago, whatever it was. But they believed. But their doctrine, their gospel, if you will, stopped before Jesus came on the scene. And for whatever reason, they just simply hadn't heard the rest of it. They believed, they repented, they were baptized, but they had never heard about Christ, and they had never received the Spirit. And so Paul tells the story that, hey, Jesus, you know, John, he introduced Jesus, and that was a big thing in Matthew chapter 3. And Jesus, when he was baptized, the Spirit came from heaven like a dove and sat upon him and what have you. And they said, okay, well, we didn't know all that, but we believe. We believe, and thank God for it and what have you. So they were re-baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and not just John's baptism. And they were also filled with the Spirit. And it says as Paul laid his hands on them in verse 6, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And it says the number of the men were about 12. I've mentioned this before. In our study in John the Baptist, this is part 63, but long about part 23, I talked about a certain town or place called Gilgal. And I want to put a plug in for my website. I'm referencing something that if you're interested, you could go listen. I've got 17 years worth of sermons and lessons, teachings, whatever. And I hope that the website and the record of what I've taught is helpful to someone. But in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit fell, everyone spoke in tongues. When they got to the various places, there was Judea and then Samaria, the Spirit was poured out in Samaria. And it doesn't say that they spoke in tongues, but they did. And when the gospel reached the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius, that was in Acts chapter 10 and 11, it says the Spirit came from heaven, rested upon them, and they spoke in tongues, just like in Acts chapter 2. And here, in Acts chapter 19, the same thing. The Spirit came upon these disciples after they were baptized, and Paul laid his hands on them. And they too spoke in tongues and prophesied. Let me repeat that. They spoke in tongues as they were filled with the Spirit and prophesied. But again, back, it's been some months now, part 23 of our study, when I talked about Gilgal. And Gilgal was the place when the Jews came out of Egypt. They were delivered at the Passover, when they finally, after 40 years or whatever, made it to the promised land, they crossed the Jordan River from the other direction at a place called Gilgal. And there's a lot of teaching, there's a lot of symbolism, a lot of significance, and I don't want to rehash all of that. But this place, Gilgal, it's significant. Again, there's a lot of symbolism. A lot of things happened at this little place. You can't even find it on the map, probably. But in the Bible, it's significant. One of the things that happened near Gilgal was that King Saul, way back in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and what have you, King Saul was anointed to be king. And I don't have a lot of time. Honestly, I want to sit and teach this again and take another month to teach the thing again. There's such a burden in my heart to teach and to preach the Word of God and to show, as it says, that Jesus is very Christ. And all of the Old Testament leads up to Jesus. Every place that they did this or that, it probably symbolizes something. Every event probably symbolizes or foretells or foreshadows something in the ministry of Christ. But in 1 Samuel chapter 9, God tells Samuel that, hey, Saul is going to be king. And again, there's a lot of material here, and I don't have the time to go over it again, but it all relates to what I just read at the beginning of the program in Acts chapter 19, where when those disciples of John, when they were filled with the Spirit, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And again, this is, to me, a wonderful thing. I want to slow down and teach it. Don't have the time. But just as John, God told him, hey, Jesus is coming. You're going to baptize him. He's the Lamb of God. He'll die for the sins of the world. He is the Messiah. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 and chapter 10, we have the story. But just like God showed, hey, John, Jesus is coming. God told Samuel the prophet, hey, Saul is coming. He's going to be the king. He's going to reign, etc. And in chapter 10 of 1 Samuel, let's read a few verses, I guess. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel 10, then Samuel took a vial of oil, or maybe a little bottle of oil or something like that, and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance? But in verse 5 through 7, it says, and that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is. And it shall come to pass, when you come into the city, you'll meet a company of prophets. And those guys are coming down from the high place or whatever, and they're singing and praising God, and they're prophesying. And when you meet up with them, the Spirit's going to come upon you, King Saul, and you're going to prophesy with them. And it says you'll be turned into another man, which is another sermon, one that I wish I had time to preach. And when these signs have come upon you, that you as king do as occasion serve you, for God is with you. But in verse 8, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I come unto you, and will have burnt offerings and sacrifices and all of that stuff. But it says that God gave him, King Saul, another heart. You see, when you're filled with the Spirit, God will turn you into another man. God will give you another heart. God will help you to serve him. He will empower you to serve him. And again, that's another sermon. But it says that he came down the hill, King Saul did, and the company of prophets met him, just like was prophesied. And the Spirit came upon him, and he prophesied among them, and everybody was talking about, hey, King Saul, hey, I guess he's one of the prophets now. And again, I've taught on this before, spent a lot of time on this, but let's see if I can tie it all back together. God speaks to the prophet Samuel and says, hey, this guy Saul, he's going to be king. He's the one I've chosen. And then when he shows up, he's anointed. And God says to him, the prophet, hey, that's the one I told you about. And then when the Spirit comes upon King Saul, he prophesies. And this episode, it foreshadows when John was at Jordan, and God told him, hey, John, Jesus is coming, and then we know that he was filled with the Spirit and what have you. So the prophet Samuel and King Saul, they're a type of the baptism of Christ. And I've said it over and over and over again, that the Old Testament is context for the New. Pretty much you can go through the Gospels and pretty much everything Jesus did, you can find that it was foreshadowed or prophesied or told ahead of time, hey, Jesus will do this. You can go to the Old Testament for context. For pretty much any passage of Scripture in the New Testament that you don't understand, you can go to the Old, and if you search, you will probably find context. But as Saul is filled with the Spirit, he begins to prophesy. And we know that in the New Testament, in the book of Acts and what have you, when someone was filled with the Spirit, they spoke in tongues. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, you understand that prophecy, that's when you speak to someone by the Spirit in the language that people understand. If tongues is involved, and then the gift of interpretation, tongues plus interpretation, it equals prophecy. But again, the Old Testament sets everything up for the New. I'll say that again. The Old Testament is context and prophecy and type and symbol, all pointing to Jesus. And Jesus is the fulfillment. But these 12 disciples that Paul, when he came to Ephesus and whatever, and he stumbled upon these guys, all they knew was John's baptism of repentance. And it says that they numbered about 12. I don't go in for numerology. I don't much pay attention to those kinds of symbols, but there are a few that are important. We understand that there were 12 tribes of Israel. We know that there were 12 apostles. In Revelation, the last chapter or so, there are 12 trees that grow on each side of that river. The number 12 is generally a symbol for the tribes of Israel. And these disciples in Acts 19, they didn't know about Christ. They weren't filled with the Spirit. But they were Jews that heard John's message of repentance and did that. But when Paul found them, they needed to be brought from their Old Testament understanding and, hey, we repented and were baptized, to the New Testament understanding of, hey, Jesus came, and oh, by the way, he died for the sins of the world, etc. They needed to be brought from an Old Testament understanding to a New Testament understanding. And we know that because they numbered about 12, it's a symbol of the tribes of Israel. But King Saul, when he was filled with the Spirit, he prophesied. And we know that King Saul, he's an Old Testament king. And these 12 disciples, they were Jews. Their mindset, they were Old Testament. And Paul brought them into the New Testament understanding. So it says when they were filled with the Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 10, I believe it was, what have you, we find that the Spirit, when the Spirit fell, the people spoke in tongues. But in this one instance, these 12 disciples of John, when they were filled with the Spirit, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. I hope that you see the symbolism. I hope I'm explaining it well enough. But the fact that they spoke in tongues and prophesied ties it all back in. You can go to Paul in Romans perhaps, and you can see that Christians, Gentile believers, are grafted in to the nation of Israel by faith and through Christ. No, we're not Jews, we don't become Jews, but we're grafted in, Paul said, into the kingdom of God. But God hasn't forgotten promise number one that he made to Israel. All the things that God told Abraham, everything that God told any prophet, all the promises of salvation and deliverance, all the promises of redemption, everything that God told Israel, he hasn't forgotten them. Currently, God is using us, Christians, and our text, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we would be martyrs and witnesses unto Christ to go to the entire world to preach the gospel. God has not forgotten Israel. I understand that there's a war over there right now. I understand all of that. And it's easy to focus on that, and it's real easy to get political with that, which I don't want to do. But the fact is, God, he has his eye on Israel. And Israel is the apple of God's eye. And God loves the Jews. And one day when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for the Jews. He's coming back to rescue Israel. You can read perhaps the end of Zechariah and see that. And I believe that these 12 disciples that Paul came upon, but they were disciples of John, they were brought in. They were told, hey, Jesus came, and oh, by the way, you can be filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit fell upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. To me, that this is yet another prophecy that God has not forgotten Israel, and that one day, when Jesus comes back, Israel will be restored to the kingdom. As Paul said in Romans, is it chapter 9, I think, that God is able to graft them back in. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.